Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Surprisingly, we actually have a third person on the line, and no, it's not that pro jam loving Craig. It's the, actually, unbelievably, it's the former co-host of the Drunk Cast, the Peach Machine. What's going on, Peach?
Oh, man, Ed, I love that the very first thing you hear before the song kicks in is you taking a big bong rip and then coughing right as the music kicks in. I love it. That's just like old time's sake. And contrary, you can suck my fucking dick. Welcome
back. Are you
back,
in a concert hall or something? I'm hearing an echo.
A concert hall?
Yeah.
No, I'm in Guam.
He's on Skype, but I don't really hear the echo too bad.
You're in my what?
He's on Skype.
Okay. We also have our other co-host for tonight. Ed, introduce him.
Okay, I think we have that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we got that jerk shimp on the line.
I've come to save the show. Which sounds like you need saving already.
Yeah, this probably is going to be one hell of a train wreck of a show with four people on it, so hopefully we won't totally walk on each other. But, Shimp, did you actually get to meet that other jerk, Rodney, this past weekend?
How can you call Rodney a jerk?
He's an asshole.
Well, he was, I don't know. See, maybe it's just you because he was very cordial to me.
Uh-oh. We're getting the static echo. Hey, you might have to call back in because we're picking up an echo off your Skype.
Hold on. I'm going to plug my headphones in and see if that works.
Yeah, Reverb Radio.
What was that,
Chuck? Reverb Radio.
That sounds better.
All right, good. I'll keep my headphones on. All right, no problem.
Cool. Okay, well, I guess we will go ahead and start with the news. Speech. Do you have what I sent you?
I do. And you know what? I'm a little disappointed in you, Ed, because you know my policy for doing podcasts is that I do zero show prep. Zero show prep, folks. That's what I offer you, absolute spontaneity. And yet I get an email with a 100% no spelling errors or grammatical errors, so I know Ed didn't type this up. But yes, we've got some news.
What's even more amazing is I copied and pasted that from the Observer, so there should be spelling errors in it.
Oh, really? Really? Well, here we are with the ripped off news right from the Wrestling Observer site. And we're going to start out with our good buddy, the YouTube sensation, Matt Hardy, getting arrested again. And he is entering WWE sponsored rehab. And there was a raid in his home this week announcing that he will be in rehab for 3 months, and it is his fourth arrest in recent weeks. He's had three driving infractions, and he's got some court dates coming up. His girlfriend, Rebby Sky, Rebecca Reyes, made a 911 call saying that her boyfriend was strung out on pills and needed help, and she had left the residence. Detective Sergeant Jerry Potney said, saw Hardy leaving his home and approached him. Reportedly, he had trouble speaking, was unsteady on his feet, and the detective noted he did not smell alcohol in his breath, but felt he was under the influence of another substance. Rebby Sky told the officer that Hardy had a safe on the property that contained numerous Vicodin pills, and she knew Hardy did not have a prescription for the Vicodin. She turned over the keys of the safe to the police, and the police observed Hardy using illegal prescription pills inside the house. So, Matt Hardy, a fuck-up. Anybody shocked?
Well, I guess we have to thank Rebby Sky. Unfortunately, because of her, we have to talk about Matt for the, I don't know, fourth or fifth fucking time in a row. But luckily, hopefully, we got 3 months where he will not be making any news, because I don't think he can have access to a computer or a camera to make a YouTube video. So hopefully we're on a three-month free ride of fucking Matt Hardy.
Well, I guess finding the ecstasy pill explains when you go back and having the house torn up. There's nothing worse than that Monday suicide after a weekend of an ecstasy binge. So, yeah, hopefully this is going to be it as far as hearing the Hardy Boys, either one of them, in the news for anything for hopefully a long, long time, especially him, because, yeah, it was getting the creepy white trash junkie thing was getting a little bit bad, and it is kind of sad watching a guy where it's just like you're just completely watching him implode, and he actually is broadcasting this to the world. You know, the best he can do is go away, and thank God for all of us, he's going to be going away.
Have you guys been watching any of his videos?
Say again?
No.
Have you watched any of his videos? Because I just have avoided all of his YouTube nonsense. I don't want, you know, he was attacked by a ghost, his house was trashed or whatever. I don't watch any of that stuff. You know, it's just pathetic.
I just watched
I watched
the suicide thing just because that's what everybody was talking about. And I watched the one the other day when he announced he was going into rehab, so.
How did you
watch? I
saw the one where he had Rey Mysterio with no mask on and he was trying to get fired. That's probably the only one that I've seen besides the suicide one. But even if you don't see the video, just like you still know exactly what the fuck happened in every video because it's all you hear about or read about on the internet.
Mm. Well, because it's easy, and he was good at doing the hey, look at me, attention getting thing. But it was like, it's a low rent poor man's jackass at its best when they were doing stupid stuff. And then from the little bit I've seen of him, because the only one I watched in full was the suicide one, because. Well, I mean, it was just absolutely amazing that would go up there. And I know the really sad part about that was it was like 50-50 right off the bat of people really being concerned. And, like, legitimately 50% of the people are like, yeah, whatever. It's like that's kind of pathetic for your life when that's what it's turned into being what it's worth. It's just like people actually don't believe that you'll kill yourself and they won't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, did anyone happen to see the Charlie Sheen roast?
No.
Not yet.
No.
Yeah,
well,
either have I yet.
There was a very untimely joke made by Amy Schumer about the death of Ryan Dunn to Steve-O that I thought was applicable to the Hardy Boys. And if you go back and watch the roast, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But it was essentially saying that she wished that Steve-O was the one that was dead. And I was thinking, wow, Matt Hardy, I wish you do kill yourself because I'm tired of seeing you. But, you know, maybe that was untasteful too.
Yeah, well, the only good thing about the rehab is people can stop buying their number on when exactly the date and time of Matt Hardy dying. So it looks like he's going to be surviving another 3 months at least, and by some miracle, maybe he'll get his act together. It's not a high percentage of people who actually get cured when they go to these rehabs, but I don't know, maybe he will get lucky and he'll be a Steven Regal and not one of the other guys who just constantly falls off the wagon, and we're just seeing videos in the near future. Hopefully, like I say, this will be the last time we talk about Matt Hardy for a very, very long time.
Maybe he'll be roommates with Jake Roberts or somebody like that.
That is a reality show.
Oh, yeah, the WWE Celebrity Rehab. I mean, those. I watched that. Scott Hall.
That'd be the greatest show. That'd be the greatest show ever.
This is kind of a morbid thought, but you know how, like, the Associated Press and stuff, like, they'll have, like, obituaries ready to go, and sometimes, like, some will sneak out on people, like, Mickey Mantle, I think, you know, it happened to him and everything. You think Dave has got one written up on Matt Hardy?
I don't know, but
only
was,
because he's
after,
Dave.
After the whole suicide, when the suicide thing went down, I said, you know, this is terrible, but we might be getting a good issue of Deserver out of it, so, you know, whatever.
Wow, a bonus double issue week. Thanks, Dave.
I think the WWE Celebrity Rehab would be a great idea, though. Yeah, you put Jake Roberts, Scott Hall, Matt Hardy. Who else could you throw in there?
Greg Valentine, with Beefcake.
Beefcake, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The Iron Sheik, of course.
Oh, my God. This is a fabulous idea.
There's too much potential for this. They'll fuck it up.
Yeah.
Gobbledygooker,
well,
put him in there.
If they're going to have their own network, they need their own fucking flagship show. And Celebrity, WWE Celebrity Rehab, that's the way to go. I'd watch that.
Classic rolling through.
Well, you got to have a couple of chicks in there. I'd put Chyna back in there.
Oh, Ashley Massaro.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
Well,
but
they do need programming for their new network.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And, I mean, I if they had that show, I would fucking buy that network the month. Because I think it's the monthly subscription or whatever, like HBO, Showtime. I would buy that. I'd pay $15, $20 a month just to watch fucking Celebrity WWE Rehab. That'd be awesome.
Would you have to use Dr. Drew, though? Or would you find somebody else?
I'd get Gary Busey. Forget having an actual doctor in there. Have Gary Busey thinking he's a doctor actually in there.
That was a great season when he thought he was not a patient.
I guess go ahead and move on to the next one, Peach.
All right. Well, we've got the result from the Night of Champions, the WWE pay-per-view that happened this past Sunday. And we had a couple of title changes and some odd booking here. But we'll go ahead and start from the beginning. We had the tag champions, Air Boom, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne. They beat The Miz and R-Truth. Now, I did not see this match, but apparently I did not see any of the pay-per-view. This was some reverse booking where they booked the faces as heels. I don't know. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, they did a thing where the faces were – they weren't tagging or something, but they were slapping hands behind the referee's back so the referee could, like – you know, hear the slap, so he think it's a tag. And then Miz and R-Truth kind of did the same thing, actually made a legal tag that he didn't see or something like that, and they got pissed at the referee, and they got disqualified, and it led to what happened later on in the main event, what happened on Raw with them getting fired, pretty much.
This was part of the conspiracy angle.
The ending of the match is, like, the Miz hit his big move on Evan. And then basically, the referee wasn't there to count for a while. So when he finally goes to count, instead of having Evan wait to the last second to kick out of the Miz's big move to where you could have got like a pop from the crowd, they had Evan kick out like right after one. And I thought it kind of took away, but in a way it had to do it like that to work the storyline, but I thought it would have been a much better match had they actually waited to the last second for Evan to kick out.
So they gave. They gave the visual pinfall to the heels.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, I kind of liked it just because it was going to lead towards something later. So it was like, you know, kind of sitting there like, okay, well, this kind of was out of nowhere and didn't really get it. But it was like, you figure it was leaning towards something later, which, you know, with how it turned out, I'm actually, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'll take your word for it since I didn't see it. But let's talk about something real quickly here since we're on the topic. Air Boom. Quickly, give me another name that could be that would be better than Air Boom. Because to me, Air Boom is Jump Fart.
I like Legion of Boom. They came up with the other night on one of the shows.
Oh, Legion of Boom. Not bad, yes. All right.
Legion of Boom.
They should do the heart, the Charlie Haas gimmick and imitate all the different tag teams. Like you could have Strike Boom and the Legion of Boom. And them a Boom Lition.
The Fabulous Boom Brothers.
That'd be an awesome
idea.
There's
potential there, yeah. Like the hand job thread. All right. Moving on, we had the Intercontinental Champion Cody Rhodes pin Ted DiBiase in about a 10-minute match. Again, I've heard good things about Cody Rhodes as the IC Champion, but I did not see this match. How was it?
It was a decent match. The finish was Ted DiBiase got the face mask off, and then he was just like holding it up in the air, was going to use it, and then Cody just schoolboyed him, got the 1-2-3, so Ted DiBiase ended up looking like a fool.
Yeah, DiBiase is it sucks the way he's been wasted and used and, you know, portrayed, and it kind of sucks for Cody, too. At least he's got something going on, but it was like, if you're going to have him, you know, get rolled up and have the tights pulled and everything, have him, why not just have him rip off the mask after the match? You know, obviously the people responded for that. Instead of having him respond for them, making him look like a douche.
Yeah, that would have been a better idea. But of course, they don't think about stuff like that. But what the hell happened to Ted DiBiase? I just remember his rookie year having to listen to people. Like, I remember Stevie J going off for like 20 minutes one time about how Ted DiBiase is going to be the future world champion and on. And had a conversation with Ben Miller, same thing. Ted DiBiase, future world champion, he's going to be the best and this and that. And it's like, he has potential and shit, but Jesus Christ, he sure hasn't fucking shown any of it.
Well, yeah. To me, the problem with Ted DiBiase is not the fact that he's a good worker, he's got a good look, but they didn't do the million-dollar gimmick with him. He didn't buy anything with his money. They just said, hey, I'm rich. Like, the whole fucking point of the million-dollar man was to come out there and throw $100 bills and kick the basketball out of the way of the little black kid bouncing it. Like, he wasn't a dick about it. He was just like, yeah, hey, I'm rich. And so nobody gave a shit.
He didn't do his father's laugh.
No.
I agree with that. And the fact is, he had to be an uber douche after, you know, coming out of getting, you know, beaten by Randy Orton. Legacy was all over with, and they were going to do that with him. You know, they put him with Maurice, and it was just like, you know, it's just visually it made sense. But they just blew it. And again, he didn't come off, and I don't know if he can do it or not. I would assume that he can, and they didn't let him or didn't think about it. Just, you got to make him exactly like his father was, an uber huge, massive douche, because that's what got him over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he's probably going to get the restart, the, you know, job him, then we'll see him back, and then, you know, probably send you on your way, kid. I don't know. Next match, we had the U.S. Championship. We had a four-way clusterfuck. Dolph Ziggler beat John Morrison, Alex Riley, and Jack Swagger.
Well, what'd you think of it, Couture? You and Shiv were probably the only ones who saw it.
It was a good match. I know I saw Morrison took the fall, and then he lost in like 30 seconds to Alberto the next night. He must be getting like released or something soon.
Who?
Brian on one of the shows said that he's getting reports of something that Molina went crazy or whatever, but he hadn't had it confirmed yet. So, I mean, I'm guessing anytime you see Morrison lose, it's because Molina pissed somebody off.
He just hadn't done much of anything since they brought him back, or since he came back from the the injury earlier.
And why bring him back early from the injury if you're not going to do anything except that one spot where he knocked his feet off the fucking the railing and he hit his back of his neck on the I don't know what the fuck you call it, but that one spot a couple weeks ago. I mean, he could have put himself right back. Yeah, the dasher boards where he came. Yeah, neck first on the dasher boards. I mean, that was horrible looking. And I mean, what
dude,
was the point
be,
of coming
be
back?
Be clear though. John Morrison, that's his idea to take those bumps. He wants to take those bumps. If they're not telling him to do that, he goes. I mean, that's his thing. Is he will bump the crazy bumps.
Hey, he's a dumb motherfucker. He's gonna do that shit.
That's, well, that's for sure. For sure.
Les Thatcher every week on the show we do with him. It drives me. Now, he sees something in John Morrison that I don't see, and I see it in Dolph Ziggler, and he doesn't see it in Ziggler. And it's like, you know, in a lot of ways, Morrison is the guy that, you know, Thatcher would hate, and I figure he's more of a Ziggler guy. But it's like, I don't buy that Morrison can kick anyone's ass. And I mean, the wall walking things that he does and all that stuff, I mean, I get it, but it doesn't hurt my feelings that he's kind of been the odd man out and everything, because to me, he's hard to buy as like a next-tier type of guy. But like Dolph Ziggler, I think, has been the one that's being wasted in all this. And it's like, you got a legitimate kind of like badass from Kent State. He's able to live through all the shitty gimmicks that they've given him over time. I mean, you know, not Bob Holly-esque or anything like that, but I mean, he's had a bunch of shitty things going on with him, and he survived it all, and people still give a shit about him. And it's like, I think they're wasting him, and it's kind of like, this was a good example in this match. And like, the whole thing with him and Swagger is like really TNA-ish.
The thing with Morrison is just, he just doesn't have any personality for me to, you know, care about anything he does. He just, I mean, he's fine in the ring, but his personality is a shit.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I feel bad for the guy, because there's no way his girlfriend doing something stupid that should not affect him at his job. I mean, think how ridiculous that is. My girlfriend did some stupid shit on Twitter, so therefore my job is going to punish me. That's WWE is the dumbest fucking company in the world for doing shit like that.
Well, it is stupid, but it has happened before plenty of times to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
hey,
look at Drew McIntyre.
Well, I was going to say, where's Drew?
now, check this, guys. I was at a house show like a couple months back, okay? And they were doing a thing where The Miz and Truth were in the ring, and they were going against Ryder and somebody, and Ryder ended up in the ring with Riley, okay? Now, this is my idea, to rebook Riley and Ryder. You call him A-Rye, okay, for Alex Riley, and Z-Rye for Zack Ryder. So there you have A through Z-Rye. What do you think? The alphabet, A through Z-Rye, but it's money.
Right, I found something actually worse than Air Boom right there.
No, because I can imagine the Iron Sheik actually saying that, you know, A to Z, right? Because he loves saying that so much, with the A to the Z.
That's awesome. A through Z, right? Come on. That's a great tag team. That's better than Air Boom.
And our tag team champions.
The alphabet. Come on. All right. This one looks scary to me. Mark Henry pinned Randy Orton, the scary part here being 13 minutes to win the world title. How did this one go?
I thought it was a decent match. I mean, for, you know, Mark Henry standards, I thought they, you couldn't have put him over any better. You couldn't put anybody over any better in, like, winning the world title clean from one of your top baby faces.
That's what I thought, too, and I thought it was a good, you know, Randy Orton did not want to work with Mark Henry. They have not been working together at all. And him putting him over clean like that, although I'll admit to being a sucker for, you know, the Mark Henry push anyway. So I just thought it was, you know, they shitted it up on Monday night, because that was just goofy and superfluous and really cheap, trying to get the cheap heat with Ross and Lawler, and then Lawler ends up getting hurt and everything. You know, but at least on, you know, Sunday night, that was awesome. And there's another guy who survived everything, and people are still buying him. So, you know, hopefully they don't screw this one up, because they got a killer. So, you know, it's kind of nice to have one.
Mark Henry's one of those guys that Mark Henry is one of those guys that even though he's been slotted like in the mid to lower card for pretty much all of his career, he has his look and how big he is. I can buy him beating anybody, you know, no problem.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, the Miz, you can't believe kicking somebody's ass like they rolled up to you on the street, but you know Mark Henry's going to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I didn't get to see the pay-per-view. I got to see the first match, and then I had to leave for work. So right when I left for work, I texted about 6 or 7 people to send me fucking results. And I don't think too many people are watching the show, because I didn't get shit for the longest time. And then I get a text from Katrina telling me, saying, Mark Henry won the title clean. And I'm like, fuck you, you fucking lying asshole. And
Ed, that is very...
And it was the only one I got. Well,
it's unprofessional to check your phone while giving a blowjob.
Fuck you, I wasn't giving a blowjob. I was fucking working hard for UPS.
Actually, you know the real reason why nobody called you? Was just because they didn't want you to pull out your phone and accidentally drop it in the urinal that you were cleaning UPS.
The next 10 years, I was getting killed with fucking trying to move 50-pound packages all night. But anyway, I finally started getting delayed results from Craig, who started from the very beginning, but like about an hour later. And then he came to the Mark Henry match and confirmed that Couture wasn't in fact lying to me and was telling me the truth. So I was like, "Holy shit, that's actually I was actually caught very off guard by the Mark Henry results." But hey, good for Mark Henry.
One of my favorite. Do you remember when I texted you fake results from the pay per view? Do you remember what pay per view that was? Was that the Royal Rumble? I texted you like something ridiculous, and you were like, "What? No." So I think everybody texts Ed fake results next pay-per-view.
No, I think you're talking about when they did that fucking fake injury angle with Roddy at WrestleMania that I didn't see and I thought was real, and I asked you if it was to confirm it, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, he really got hurt." So I'm going around telling everybody that he really got hurt in that spot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's paralyzed, man. You're going to have to go see him in the hospital. Moving on. We got the girls' match. We had Kelly defeating Beth Phoenix in her hometown in a 6-minute match. Got to be train wrecks.
It had to be a 5-star match if that's enough that one person win.
The crowd made it entertaining.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, was the crowd. But it was just like you're watching it, and it was when it was over, it was like, you know, because you figured just because of what they do to people in their hometowns, even though I wanted, Beth should have won last month, but whatever. I mean, I don't know why. You knew it was Buffalo. You know how the crowd's going to respond. Why not have Natalya in that position to get beaten by Kelly and then Beth beats her? I don't know. That was just dumb, you know, a dumb thing to do to me. And it's, you know, just shows a lack of foresight.
Well, I think they changed it in the ring because the way everyone – because, okay, she lost last month, so it sets it up for her to actually win in her hometown. And I think it's the crowd's fault. I think the crowd was just too goddamn into it that somebody on the headset said, "Hey, change it up. Kelly's going over."
I don't know. That's putting a lot of faith in Kelly to swap the finish out on the fly. I mean, Beth was probably the ring general there, but that's still a lot of faith.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going. I think for a while I kind of thought that they were going to kind of end up hooking the two of them up with Kelly, but maybe they could still go that way since she just keeps beating them all the time. But we'll see where it goes.
Hey, we got a caller. We're going to take this call, okay? Area code 386, who is this? Area code 386?
They just hung up. That was like
it's
the second time they called.
It's a 5-man radio show.
Yeah, all right. We spent too much time talking about Kelly and Beth. Let's get to the semi-main here. We got John Cena retaining.
I knew you were still faggot.
Nobody gives a fuck about the Divas match. Come on, we're over it. I want to talk about John Cena.
You don't like it. He's your fag. All right, go ahead.
John Cena beat Alberto Del Rio to win his 10th WWE title in a very long match. What What was it like?
I thought the match was good. I mean, you know, you can go the whole thing with Cena winning again is kind of stupid, but match was fine.
Yeah, that's what I didn't get. It was, like, going so well. It was like, you know, I'm thinking this is going to be – this is good for Del Rio because as much as I like the character, I really like him in the role. It's like one of those Kurt Angle things where they're just going to latch it down your throat until you accept it and really buy it, and they've done a good job with it. But I don't think people have really bought it. And, you know, it's like finally he gets the title. And he needs, you know, it's like they've done with The Miz and with other guys who get in the belt. He needs all the help he can get, even though he's got a great character and everything that surrounds it going on, to really drive the point home of, like, people wanting to see him get beat up on pay-per-view and, you know, and spend money. And then to freak out over a rating that's debuting, if that's what it is, that's debuting against Monday Night Football, it's just fucking ridiculous, you know. Again, that's just bad business, and there's no other way to say it, reactionary stupidity, because how does this help Del Rio? Cena doesn't need the belt. You know, again, you got the Cena Rock thing going on. Unless it's just because the last time we saw The Rock and John Cena together, Cena had the belt. And that would be the only thing I could think of other than they just freaked out and did something stupid and just hurt Del Rio with it.
Yeah, and I don't think about changing it because of the rating. I mean, the rating was maybe going to go up a little bit anyway, because don't they usually go up the day after a pay-per-view? A little bit?
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just them being stupid like always. Just like they killed somebody because his wife's talking on Twitter. I mean, this company, it's amazing that this company makes the money that it does, because it's so back-asswards and so fucking stupid the way they fucking judge people or fucking the way they do things. I mean, it's like they make money in spite of themselves sometimes. And I think it was kind of stupid. The only way they could kind of make this up is if they let somehow Del Rio regain the title in Mexico. But I certainly doubt that's going to happen. And
that's the only reason I figure he's getting it back, is because they're going to Mexico.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in Mexico. I mean, God, I really wanted to. I mean, it'd be really awesome to hear Rodriguez go crazy if he re-won the title in Mexico. But since it's in Mexico, you know they're going to beat him.
I'm sorry. I still would love to hear Rodriguez actually do the ring announcement in English, just to reverse it.
Yeah, that actually would be awesome if he did that in Mexico.
Now, are they doing a Raw
Del Rio
from Mexico?
They could have rolled him in there, like, with the belt and not taken off of him and been, you know, again, just an extra douchey Mexican coming home again and doing the English and doing all of that stuff to say he's having, like, his Mexican homecoming or something like that, and could have came back with the belt and had a title defense there that was good, that would have served him more purpose than this.
Yeah.
You know, put him in with Anaheim or somebody like that, and it would have been awesome.
The thing about putting the belt back on Cena to me is that you lose that storyline of John Cena trying to get the belt, chasing the belt to get it so he can wrestle against The Rock. And so if he's already got it, then you're just sort of, now we're just sort of waiting. Like, why is The Rock fucking even coming back? Like, he should be coming back at Survivor Series to yell at John Cena and go, hey, faggot, you don't have the fucking belt. Well, what's the deal? I thought you were going to be the champ, you know, and said, you're like, oh, same old, same old. That's why it was disappointing to me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the fact that they have all of these pay-per-views, it's like the thing with Punk and Triple H, which I'm sure we'll get into. You had, this came organically, you fell ass backwards into it in a lot of ways. Take it for all it's worth. You got a long fucking time till WrestleMania. You got a long time till the Royal Rumble, with a lot of pay-per-views you want people to buy that people have not been buying in the last couple of years. I mean, you're baselining it like, you know, whatever it was, 80,000. I mean, that's ridiculous for you know, what WWE is and how big they are and the other money they bring in. That's, like, insane to me that, you know, and you're trying to separate people from their money, and you have all this time. Draw this shit out. You know, why even have these dopey-ass pay-per-views if you're not going to make any money off of them?
Plus, when you get to, like say Cena still has the belt when you get to, like, around Royal Rumble time, I mean, it kind of takes away from that because you know he's going to be in the main event of WrestleMania against somebody else. So it kind of takes the edge off of who's going to win the Rumble, you know, to get a title shot, especially when you have Daniel Bryan that has the briefcase, and he's already said he wants a shot at WrestleMania. So, I don't know.
Well, they'll probably take it off Cena again, and then we'll have get back to their storyline. They just did it as a hot shot to pop a rating, and so, you know, they don't really have a fucking clue where they're going, and even if they did, they'd change their mind 1,000 times.
Oh, wait, Money in the Bank winner Daniel Bryan wrestled the Zero match against Heath Slater. Good looking out, Daniel.
And I don't think he's won a match in, like, fucking... I don't think he's won one match since he won Money in the Bank.
Yeah, he's jobbed at Sin Cara about five times.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith that he's actually going to get his shot come WrestleMania, but I guess we'll see.
Well, the way it's been going, he's going to go to NXT and lose the briefcase to Darren Young.
Is that show still on?
Yep.
I think it
because
is. I never
see a recap
it.
Every week. Someone recaps it every week. I know that.
Someone was just sending in fake recaps.
The top two Tyson Kidd matches on there or on something else that people rave about that no one ever sees?
Yeah, according to Rover, NXT is the best show on TV, according to Rover. But that is Rover. But I guess moving right along.
All right, moving on. We had the main event. We had Triple H defeating CM Punk in a 24-minute no DQ match. Apparently, there was some shenanigans at the end. I was not very clear on this when Dave and Brian they discussed it, and there was about five run-ins, and I think Brian said the names wrong because it didn't make sense the way it happened. Break it down for us, Contreras.
Okay. This was a good match. I like the way it started. Because with the personal issues between these two guys, it wasn't let's lock up and trade like headlocks and arm locks. They both, like, from the outset, they both outside just brawling all over the place. And it was kind of like, you remember that WrestleMania main event with Orton and Triple H a few years ago after Orton had done all his stuff to Triple H and his wife and stuff like that, and they started off with wrestling holds. That's how this match started, like that match should have started. With just a brawl, and I'd actually like to see more of a wrestling match between these two guys instead of just like the no DQ brawl all over the arena kind of thing. And but it was good. It eventually Miz and R-Truth, which I think if you watched the first match, you could tell this was going to happen, came out and they interfered and they were beating up both guys and they put Punk on top and because they want Triple H to lose his job, so. Triple H kicks out, and then Johnny Ace is coming down there. The referee gets bumped, and then another referee comes out when Triple H has a pin on Punk, but Johnny Ace he stops him from getting in the ring to look after the other ref, and which kind of plays into the whole Johnny Ace with trying to get Triple H out of being a COO. And then Johnny Ace starts texting, and eventually Kevin Nash comes out and attacks both guys and gives Punk a jackknife powerbomb. Then they go outside and Triple H nails him with the sledgehammer, knocks him out. And then Triple H gets back in with the pedigree and 1-2-3 and he beats CM Punk.
Well, I mean,
so we're supposed to believe that John Chase is the secret text machine.
Why did he have to text him? Why did I just
I don't know.
Again, I don't get it.
Plus, as soon as right when he texts him, he's like 3 seconds later, you saw Kevin Nash. So I don't know. Maybe he had a special. Maybe he had a special John Laurinaitis vibrating thing on his phone or something, so he knew what he wanted him to do. I'm not sure.
I actually like the texting thing that he's been doing, but I expected Triple H to win the match.
If you like the texting thing, that means he stole Michael Tarver's gimmick.
Well, it's just another thing that Michael Tarver can use against them for saying they fired him for being, for, you know, John Cena being jealous of him. Now I can say Johnny Ace stole his gimmick.
The match ended up being, you know, like we always see in, like, TNA pay-per-view main events, you know, just a big clusterfuck of people coming in. But WWE is usually kind of good about not doing that kind of stuff all the time. And so I wasn't really bothered that it ended like that. So,
I don't know. They should have held this whole thing off the Survivor Series to me. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you knew they haven't established Triple H really as a COO yet. And, you know, it's, you know, you're coming off one guy who was booted out for being incompetent, and he's shown, you know, all sorts of levels of incompetence, much less, you know, plot holes in this thing as it's gone along. And it's still, I mean, it's still good for what it is and everything. You can't, you completely rip it to shreds, but you kind of shake your head, and it's like, you know, again, you're rushing through this stuff. Obviously, it's probably going to lead to Survivor Series, but again, it's, you know, Punk is as good of a spot as he's in right now and is much better than he's been in. It's still not really where they should be, and they haven't maximized it to me.
Well, the disappointing thing in this to me was Triple H wrestling. To me, he should not have fucking wrestled one match until WrestleMania, because it was just like, yep, I'm the COO, and guess what? I'll go ahead and have matches too. Like, that should have been a thing where, nope, I'm done. I don't wrestle anymore. No, I am Vince McMahon. You're not going to get me into a match. And then eventually he wrestles Punk. Eventually. But they just said, all right, we're just going to give you a month as this position, and now we're just going to put you in a wrestling role. It was dumb.
Yeah, I would have waited for Survivor Series. I think that would have been, like, long enough to establish him and, you know, keep the Punk thing up a little bit more. But they could have been thinking that when they got The Rock for Survivor Series, they didn't really need that because it was going to sell anyway. So, I don't know.
Well, they could have been thinking that that's what we're going to do, but then we just realized we hired some guy for a match who medically can't do the match. So we have to move everything up.
I guess, but even then, it's
wrong.
Like, you know, okay. Why wouldn't you take that opportunity to put in, I'm not saying Brodus Clay, but, like, I don't know, anybody else into that spot where it could actually help them along, too, or play into the storyline better.
Yeah, you'd think so, but, you know, they just go back to the old ways. Triple H drew 10 years ago, you know, so we'll bring him back.
Yeah, and then I just wish they'd get rid of Kevin Nash. I could go an entire lifetime without seeing Kevin Nash in the ring anymore. He has sucked so bad since he came back. I thought
I like Kevin Nash. He's just been shit. I mean,
he has. I mean, I guess Scott Hall really was carrying the load, because I used to think he wasn't that bad on promos, and he has been the worst promo guy fucking on TV for the last few weeks. I mean,
but you know why?
I'm
35, and I've lived through several incarnations of Kevin Nash, from, like, you know, Oz and Vinny Vegas and all that other stuff, and Diamond and all that other stuff, to now, and it's like, I'm 35. Most of that crowd is, like, 15. They don't give a shit, and you could tell it shook them the fuck up when he, that first night he was in, and they were chanting one at him and everything else, where it was like, it threw him off, and he hasn't recovered from that. You know, and it's, again, and put somebody else in, it didn't work. You could bring somebody else in from Triple H's past now and just have Nash play the sidelines or something, or just stand there and be big if you want him to be around. But it hasn't been working. At least to me it has. And I don't know, people, and again, somebody else, even if it is working, could be far more effective in the role at this point to me.
I would have brought Kevin Nash back. I would have put him in Booker T spot doing commentary on SmackDown or something like that. I think you get the most out of him doing that.
Yeah. Are you saying you don't like Booker T's work on commentary?
No, not really. Sorry. Sorry, Brian.
I just don't like anybody other than JR and the King. I mean, I can't think get rid of Michael Cole. I love him as a character, but he doesn't need to be the announcer.
Yeah, they blew it with him as heel manager, and it's like, you know, and when Michael Cole's not bad when it's just him being an announcer, and I can at least live with that. even it, but yeah, again, that's another problem they have. There's no one to get over what they're talking about. I mean, John Madden and Pat Summerall and all these, you know, great announcers from over the years, and JR, and it's amazing, you know. And Lawler getting hurt, it's like, can you, you know, again, imagine no JR, no Lawler, and you're on USA Network. You're supposed to be the number one show on cable, and people tune it in, and it's going to be, no offense to him, but Josh Matthews and Booker T. It's just, no. Again, stupid to waste the money.
Back to the Kevin Nash thing real quick. I don't know, I just got this feeling Nash is fired, Truth is fired, Miz is fired. I have a feeling they're going to do some sort of an NWO thing coming back.
It would make sense with the characters they have. They could put it on another name and do, you know, but doing a gang faction like that, I mean, you know, if you look at the characters involved, it can make sense.
Yeah.
I will bet you that does not happen. I don't think Kevin Nash wants to be associated with anybody. I think he's going to do his own thing, or he's not going to do anything. Yeah. Well, see, here's the depressing part about this is here the four of us discuss the Night of Champions, a usually good pay-per-view, and we're all very down after discussing every single match, and the WWE does not give a shit what we think. They're going to keep doing their thing. They don't care if their fans are happy. They're just in their own fucking bubble, their own world, and they're not going to change it despite what we actually want to see and what entertains us and what used to entertain us. They're just keep going in this, like you said, Ed, they're making money in spite of themselves, and they just keep going and going and going. What is it going to take?
They got too many revenue streams. They're kind of just, they're still making a lot of money, but they're kind of just coasting, like, creatively, you know, just kind of, I don't know, just sitting on their asses with the thumbs up their butts.
Well, the thing is, they're not sitting on their asses. They're overworked because they change everything 57 fucking times a day. They have no clue what the hell is going on. And then Vincent McMahon supposedly is in an outrage, in an uproar, and on a rampage backstage. Well, it's your own fault, man. I mean, you know, it's just the way they do things. They do things last minute. You know, they can't plan ahead for more than a week. I mean, the only reason the thing with The Rock is going to continue to WrestleMania is because it's The Rock and he's not here every week, or else they would end up hot-shotting it, and then they would have the WrestleMania match before the Royal Rumble even. So, I mean, they don't know.
I think them bringing in the Muppets is going to be the beginning of the turnaround.
I was just going to get to that. That's our next news bit here, and quite frankly, I'm very excited to see the Muppets guest host Raw. They will be the host of Raw on Halloween night, and they're promoting the new Muppet movie that comes out on Thanksgiving. I am going to be in America for the UFC on the 29th, and I am very much considering flying to Atlanta to watch the Muppets host Raw. I think this could be big. I think Miss Piggy, Kermit the Frog, Animal, Gonzo, Fozzie Bear, it's endless possibilities. It's going to be great.
I was so excited when I read this on the internet the other day. So excited.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be awesome. To me, this has potential to be the best guest host on Raw they've ever had.
You're like one of these wrestling purists and, like, you hate this idea, then you take this shit way too fucking seriously.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be an inspirational, celebrational, I forget how the song went, but it's going to be awesome. Now, Randy Orton and Anna, the only good combination, and it is kind of bad when you have to include, like, guys like Randy Orton, because, you know, it is still a show that's going to continue on, but Randy Orton and Animal playing the drums together, it'll be worth it.
Triple H and Gonzo in the same room at the same time.
I think they should rehire
Lance Storm for one night to run into the Eagle to see who looks more stern.
You know, I had all these things in my head that I was hoping to, planning to see, and then Shiv just brought something up that just now has totally blown my mind, and it has to happen. Everybody has to break out into a fucking musical at some point during Raw.
And then at the end of it, Waldorf and Statler have to be at the announce table just calling it out.
They need to do, Statler and Waldorf, they need to call a Divas match. And Michael Cole needs to get karate chopped by Miss Piggy.
Oh,
these are such good ideas, and none of it's going to happen, probably. But I can.
Oh, I know. Hope. Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to do a damn thing.
This might be one of the best.
Like pair
Muppet,
up every Muppet,
the Muppet movie
like
again.
Somebody.
It's like the ultimate show to like dream book, though. Just all the possibilities.
Like you could have like Bunsen and Beaker run into Air Boom, and just like
Beaker run into Seamus.
Yeah.
Wait, who will be hanging out with the chef?
Oh
my God! There's so many possibilities.
That the chef could make a CM Punk an ice cream bar with his picture on it.
This is the time I want Shawn Michaels and that wonky eye to just make like a random like pop up appearance still.
like when Shawn had that when he left after losing Undertaker and he was like a chef at a cafeteria. That's what you could bring him back and have him and the chef be like in catering or something.
York. Yeah, I can imagine this. This is good.
God, I'm looking at a picture of the Muppets here, and there's so many, I have no idea who they are. And I used to watch the Muppets all
Muppets
the fucking time.
I haven't watched Muppets in years.
They do have a few characters. I saw like a Christmas special like last year or something. But for the most part, it's still the same one. They're just doing a couple new ones. A couple racially profiled characters. But
what do they have?
It's not
anyway,
that Muppet have racially profiled characters. They're Muppets, for God's sakes.
They got this one dude who's got dreads. You know he's got to be a black guy.
Well, I guess he'll be hanging out with Kobe. Now, is he a stoner Muppet, or is it just like a straight-edge Muppet?
I guess he could be a stoner.
Straight-edge Muppet.
I've only seen him once.
God, who... Are you guys looking at pictures of the Muppets? Because, like, who would be... I think Fozzie Bear would be a good CM Punk. I don't know why.
Oh, I can see CM Punk saying Waka Waka, so, yeah. I'll tell you, this would be... God, it's just too bad Colt Cabana's not there. God, I wish Colt Cabana would be there, because this would be a great show for him. Him and Jericho.
Oh, absolutely.
Make a new number
now,
with Dr. Stephen Electric Mayhem.
What were you saying?
I think you got to put. I said, who's going to be Kermit? Who's going to run? Hmm. Who's going to be the?
Kermit the Frog here. Oh, Cena.
Oh yeah,
the leader of the Muppets with the leader of the C Nation.
There you go.
Maybe they'll bring McFoley back there. He's like a living Muppet.
No, that's a good point. I think Michael Cole getting karate chopped by Miss Piggy, that was the fucking ultimate, though. It doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if it'll be him, though. Now that you say that, I'm thinking Vicky. Watch her get actually karate chopped. Or let's say all two things in space together.
And Jerry Lawler will make a joke like it's like looking in a mirror with Vicky and Miss Piggy.
He'll get karate chopped. Wait, he'll get sent back to the hospital. Oh, man. There's too many possibilities with the show.
Were Kermit and Miss Piggy fucking? Was that like the angle? Was that like their boyfriend and girlfriend? They were fucking?
I think Kermit
was in love with Kermit, but he was never a reciprocate or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Miss Piggy just wanted to ride. She may have raped him.
Oh, man.
Well, speaking of crazy ideas, we've got Teddy Hart making his way back into the news, and he was recently on an episode of The Law, Live Audio Wrestling Radio. Teddy Hart and Harry Smith, they're using the famed Stampede Wrestling name. They used that name on an indie show on September 9th in Calgary, where the headline against the Young Bucks. I wonder if they shook their hands. Teddy Hart said he wanted his version of Stampede Wrestling to be a Lucha Libre-style promotion. And in his interview with the Law, he said, this is a quote, "I'd like to see mechanically altered weapons and things like that, chairs that change sizes, ladders that get longer so you can be on a ladder and press a button and it gives you another 3 or 5 feet if you wanted to go higher. Higher is ratings. And you can have the phones all typing into their cell phones. If you want to see Ted Hart go an extra 5 feet, everyone has 30 seconds to text in the code or whatever." And so then he, you know, this is just Ted Hart being insane. He wants more run-ins from animals. And here's another quote. "I'm training cats to come out to the ring with me, and I'm also trying to train animals to get involved in matches. I'm trying to get safety animals, like a dog, to basically pull the referee's leg before the count of three. Things like that. Or my dog will be carrying a weapon to me to the ring, and I would get it off his neck." So, Ted Hart, insane. I've been hearing that cat thing for a long time.
All I want in life is the same kind of drugs that Teddy Hart takes, because those have to be some good
GHB,
shit,
brother. GHB, he drinks that shit like it's fucking water.
It's a shame because he's talented too. But he's just too crazy for anybody that would hire him or something like that.
And so I'm just sitting here thinking, it's like, God, I thought I used to get fucked up. Like we did an interview with Teddy Hart on the PPH where it was. Keith set it up, and he's like, "You're going to love this." And we basically asked, I think, 3 questions in the span of 45 minutes. And it was just like Keith asked him a question, and then he would just go. And you could hear the bowl, like, being tapped against the ashtray in the background. And it was like, I'll give him this. He can just keep going. But, yes, he is insane. And, you know, nothing goes hand-in-hand like Stampede and Lucha Wrestling.
Like the idea of a mechanical ladder that gets bigger. Does that even exist?
Well, I am pro animal run-ins.
Well, yeah.
This is going to get a lot of coverage, actually. You know, Brian is going to love, like, having Teddy Hart on and everything, because if he can actually train Gracie to come to the ring with him, then he'd be the happiest boy in the whole wide world.
Yeah, but you need an army of like cats, not just one cat. One cat will just look like a guy to wait. You need like an army of Persian cats to be like seductively walking their way to the ring, and they each have like their own like headpieces on. It's like it's, you know, Persia from, you know, 3,000 years ago.
Oh, freaky Siamese cats, and then Kane can come out with a hairless cat.
Oh yeah. Like
I just need more animals in wrestling though.
You know the song from
like
Lady and the Tramp? We Are Siamese from Lady and the Tramp playing. I can just picture that song playing as you walk with us.
All I know is that I once had the chance to, and I didn't even get to see him wrestle, but I got to see Teddy Hart cut a 10-minute promo of WrestleMania weekend, and I still this day I could still not tell you what the fuck he was talking about because I still have no clue.
I saw him on tape do too many moonsaults and vomit one time on a Noro H show video, I think.
Mm.
Something happened.
Wasn't that like the start of it? Wasn't that when he first started to go crazy with that first ROH show when he did that shit, and then after that it was all downhill from there?
And everybody
he was crazy before that, too.
Well, I'll take your word for it because I can easily see that in the man. The man is... the man is different. That's all I can say. He's different, or he's on
Teddy
the best drugs ever made.
When did TNA start? 2003 or 2004? Or when was that?
2002.
I met Teddy Hart at the beginning of TNA down in Nashville, and he was wearing the most obnoxious velour jumpsuit that said his name. He had like this vest on with like no shirt. Like he was in his wrestling gear, but it was like, you know, 2 p.m. He wasn't even wrestling on the show. And we were just hanging out and he was telling us just some of the most insane stories about, hey, you know, I drank this much GHB and then, you know, all this stuff happened. And he was talking about his own clothing line coming out and how he was going to have like a diamond encrusted helicopter drop him off in the ring. And you look at him, and you're just like, I think you're serious. He just has this, like, insane, like, lost eye, you know, glassy-eyed, just, he really believes all this shit. But he, like, dresses and acts like he's a billionaire, but I don't know if he even has any money. I don't really know how he sustains himself because, you know, drinking as much GHB and doing as much coke as he does, I'm sure he still does, you know, how can he even survive?
Well, I mean, you would have figured getting beaten up at the White Trash Cafe by CM Punk back then would have taught him something, but it did not.
I heard it was another way around. I heard Teddy Hart beat CM Punk.
I've heard like different versions, but I cannot fathom Teddy Hart. Again, he's just another one. He might be quick. I cannot see him kicking anyone's ass. Just because if you hit him once in the face, his nose would have to explode everywhere.
Yeah, but whoever would have thought that Jack Evans was an ass kicker and he fucking nearly killed Hoovy? You know, maybe he learned to move some Jack.
I don't know. Something tells me Hoovy is not the toughest dude in the whole wide world.
He's a juice, baby.
That's, don't touch my hair. It's juicy.
Oh, man. Well,
yeah, but I guess the fight with Teddy Hart, though, is, you know, he'll just shoot you. He won't. He wouldn't, like, you know, attack you back. He'd just find you and then put a bomb in your house or something. Like, he's that insane.
Or bring those attacking cats.
Yeah, attack cats. Just all of a sudden you're looking out in your front yard. It's like the bird scene.
A fucking deer comes and just lays you out of nowhere.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well,
what do you guys think about Harry Smith? Let's talk about him for a second since he was mentioned here in this article. Getting cut from WWE, apparently looking to get into fighting, into some MMA, but he's taken a lot of dates as, you know, doing some, you know, I guess autograph signings or whatever. He just got back from Japan. What would you guys like to see Teddy or Harry Smith's career go? Where would you like to see it?
I don't know. For me, and this probably shouldn't be a surprise, I would actually like to see him stay in Japan. If he was in New Japan, then that would make, I think, great sense. It would be really good for him. You know, they've been able to develop a personality for Carl Anderson. So developing one for Harry Smith and getting him more comfortable talking where it's not like people are going to give a shit about what he has to say. Because that's the only thing to me that holds him back is he's just not – he's not comfortable being, you know, flashy. He's got the look. He's got the size. He can legitimately whip ass. He can wrestle, you know, pretty damn well. It's just getting that personality across. It's the only thing I think that dude is missing in having a heavy rap. That's, if you're not going to give him a manager or he'll never have a manager, then he's got to be able to really talk his ass off. And I think he probably can do that with enough time. So Japan, to me, would be the best place for him to work on that stuff. But he's also at the age where if he's actually serious about MMA, then be serious about MMA because your window is going to close, you know, relatively soon. And I'm not sure how well-trained he is in different factions of things, but stop taking dates unless it's the off show in Japan. And I guess Inoki, you know, would be good for, you know, him because Inoki will pay him. But he can work with Barnett and stuff like that, I guess. But I think the thing he would need to do, if he's serious about MMA, stop with the wrestling shit and find a sponsor, you know, continue to train in MMA, and that's it.
We'll train. We'll teach you. You trained with him before you moved to Guam. How could he actually compete in the UFC? Let's be honest here.
Could he compete? No, he cannot right now. No. But he has, yeah. We have trained. We've done some wrestling stuff, and he was a Tampa kid when I was living in Tampa, and we'd work out all the time. But he's been going to Big Dave's Jiu-Jitsu school down in Tampa, and so that was he's got incredible wrestling, incredible power in his hands, but he didn't have any Jiu-Jitsu. So once he gets that aspect of his game, his ground game's comfortable, I think if he takes a couple of amateur fights, you know, does well in those, I don't think there's any reason why UFC wouldn't look at him.
You live in Guam? You live in Guam?
Yeah, I live in Guam.
Were you a missionary?
No. I was recently married, and my wife is in the Air Force, and she was sent over here.
Like an Art Bell thing or something like that.
Say that again?
It's not like an Art Bell thing where the radio guy who disappeared to Singapore or something like that with his bride.
No. I didn't marry a 14-year-old girl and move to Thailand.
Does she still got a chance then?
Does she know it's a sham wedding? Because, I mean, obviously she has to know you're a fag by now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when she walked in on me sucking some cock and taking in the ass, she figured it out right away. I was like, listen, baby, yeah, you're my beard.
And, you know, you got to love a woman like that. She stayed for it. So that's love right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, she needed somebody to get the extra military pay, so, you know, that's how it goes.
Isn't it great in 2011 how everybody's tolerant of everybody's lifestyle?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, last week was National Come Out of Your Gay Military Day. Like, it was the final, you know how they repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Seriously, I can't remember when it was. But it was like all right, you are now allowed to be gay in the military. And so they had a big celebration of all the gays being in the military, which if you've ever been on a military base, it's very clear that you cannot prevent gays from being in the military.
I just remember the other day, Jakey was going crazy about some gay soldier who was introduced to some Republican crowd, and they booed the gay soldier.
Yeah, that was... It was at the Republican National Convention or something, wasn't it? Or whatever, wherever the debates are.
Yeah, the Fox debate, which, you know, to me, that's incredibly... Look, I'm not really trying to fucking get shot at, so I don't care who you're fucking. I'm not there. I don't care. You know what? If you want to, like, you know, I'll hide behind you and your big gay ass with that big gun. No problem. Let them do what the fuck they want. They're the ones getting shot at. Fuck that.
Well, you know, and how arrogant are we as straight males to go, oh, if you're gay, you must want to fuck me. Like, no, you're an ugly fucker. Nobody wants to fuck you, like, guy
That's
or
true.
Girl. Yeah, like, how arrogant do we think we are? If they're around me, they're going to want to fuck me. Like, no, come on, brother, they're just people.
I like hanging around with gay dudes. I mean, they're the ones that hang around the best-looking chicks.
That's another good point.
That's, yeah, especially if you're around major cities and stuff like that, because almost every girl you know has got that gay, you know, safety friend, and, you know, the gay guys with hot chicks, because, well, they're safe.
Yeah.
It's like we were discussing in Vegas this past year, Jakey's the fucking ultimate wingman.
Exactly.
He wasn't picking up chicks, but like at Peach's reception or whatever, he got like the hottest girl there to open up to everybody and start talking to everybody instead of being freaked out by all those weirdos there.
Yeah, I know. If you're worried about gay people, you know, in the military or in your life or whatever, as a straight dude, all you should be thinking is, more pussy for me. That's all you should be concerning yourself with.
Exactly, and
people, and you're in the military. You should want these people in the military because they can take the bullets, and that's like one more person to take a bullet for you.
Exactly.
Well, it's like
exactly.
Everywhere else in the world, including Israel, it's like nobody else has got a problem with this because they all realize that. Well, you know, if you want to go, that means I don't have to. God bless you.
Yep. Fair enough. All right, we got a couple of more news stories here. We've got Ring of Honor making its debut on Sinclair Broadcasting this weekend. It's going to be it might have been last week, the 24th and the 20th. What fucking day is it? Because over here, it's
fucking tomorrow. I think it's showing on Saturday and Sunday on the affiliates.
Yeah, yeah. So go ahead.
I get to watch it three fucking times. It's on two different channels. At three different times, I get to watch it at either 9 or 11 on Saturday, and then at 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. So it's perfect for me, but I know a lot of people probably aren't even, like, I think Brian says he doesn't have an affiliate, but I'm good to go.
It's on the website, though.
Yeah, but it's going to be on delay. It's not going to be, like, you know, week to week. It's probably going to be, like, a week or two back behind. But I'm ready to see Claudio and Hero's last match in ROH tomorrow night.
Well, you're going to get to see it. They're taking on the Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin versus the Kings of Wrestling before they head off to the WWE. And Future Shock versus the Bravado Brothers, plus the return of a former Ring of Honor champion. Who would that be? Anybody know? They taped
Nigel McGuinness as a commentator.
That's right. That is right. The return of Nigel McGuinness, one of the original Team Viggity members. I'm so happy for him. He got such a fucking raw deal in TNA. And, you know, with the concussion issues, he got fucked in WWE, fucked in TNA. He had some great ones in with Kurt Angle, and then they just didn't do anything with him because, well, whatever, they're TNA. And I'm so glad to see him back in the business and hopefully making a difference. And he's entertaining as hell, so he'll be good on the mic.
Oh, God, yeah, that's one of the most underrated part of this whole, you know, about the show is him coming back because he's very good, he's very funny, he's very quick. And, you know, one of the best things about him in TNA, actually the only good thing about him in TNA was the hot chick that they paired him up with. But I know the show hasn't started yet, and I'm sure he's going to be really good, but it's going to be hard for me to leave the memories alone. I'm already starting to miss Mike Hogwood a little bit. I know.
I never
hired
Mike
Hogwood. But the whole ACC network now, and there's no, like, ACC football and Jefferson Pilot anymore, and everything's all changed around. And I got to listen to Matt Millen instead of Mike Hogwood. I don't know where he's disappeared to.
Mike Hogwood was like Bob Caudle, just a modern version of Bob Caudle.
I think that's why I liked him. Growing up, especially watching as much Crockett as I did, it was like, he didn't know what the fuck was going on exactly, but he was like the perfect eyes and you know, for the average fan out there of like not really knowing what's going on, but being really into it. And the fact that like, I think Ghana did a really good job with like giving him enough to keep him going through the broadcast. But then, you know, the way he would react to some of the stuff really came across like, you know, legit 80s style.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That's one thing I liked about the HCNet show was the commentary. Who's going to be doing the commentary now? Is it Krazak or
Kevin Kelly, I think.
Is Krazak doing it, though, or just Kevin Kelly?
Yep. Kevin Kelly, I think.
It is, and I like Kevin Kelly, too. I mean, yeah, I didn't really like him much in WWF. Because again, I've been Jim Ross and there are other guys there that did better. But as far as ROH goes, I think he's actually really good.
But you just didn't like him because he's hermaphrodite.
No, that's right. He was Hermie.
Hermie.
Maybe Nigel can debut a new shirt.
For the Muppets, they could have had Hermie and Kermie.
and Kelly would have had both of them.
Kelly and Miss Piggy. Huh, what could you do there?
She puts the moves on Kermit and then gets karate shot by Miss Piggy.
Well, anyway, I'm thrilled for Nigel McGuinness to get that spot because, you know, he deserves it. He's worked his ass off in this business. And recently, I actually saw him in a play in Tampa, and there was only five people in the play, and it was like a little local theater. And he was fucking hilarious and outstanding, and he's such a witty dude. I know he's going to be great. And, you know, with the great wrestling of ROH, with, you know, I watched the iPay-per-view last weekend, and it's just these guys, they're so good at what they do in the ring. If they, you know, they crop that up into an hour or a half hour, however long the TV show is going to be, it's going to be a 30-minute or an hour, just all action, great hour of television. And I'm sad. I guess I'll be watching on the website because there's certainly no affiliate here in Tamun in Guam.
Hopefully they're not too far back with running
Guam.
It online.
Y'all just said some shit that I couldn't hear. What?
Well, I was going to say, how many TV stations do you even have in fucking Guam?
Dude, everyone thinks that it's like this bizarre, like it's the island of Lost. And don't get me wrong, there are part of it that are very much uninhabited and very much like the island of Lost, and I would never go to because I'm scared. But it is pretty much just like it's just America with palm trees and and brown people instead of black people. That's it.
Do they
even like living in a bamboo hut or anything?
say it again.
Hold on, one has.
I was going to say, just, you know, do they eat as much Spam there as they do in Samoa, or is it a little bit less?
No, Spam is not as popular here. They have a thing called dried beef that's pretty popular, and I think it's just, this is like regular, it's like a cheap cut of steak that they dry out. That's pretty popular. Yeah, no Spam.
And you know what? Dried beef is also really popular with Ed.
The what? I didn't hear you. I'm trying to text her.
Oh, nothing. No, you're sending a text during the show. Who are you sending the text to?
To, actually, Peach's ex-girlfriend.
K-Fabe. I have a wife now, brother.
Well, that's too pretty. So today I text to Jim. I told her that I was doing something today, and she got very excited. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to do it, so she's gonna have to wait until tomorrow.
Why are you corresponding with Jen, you weirdo?
Because I keep in touch with her every once in a while. That's why.
All right. Well, good. I do too.
I liked her way better than you anyway.
I know. I like her way better than you. That's why we get along. Neither of us really like each other.
What?
It's called tolerance.
But I feel that way with all my co-hosts, basically, though.
Yeah, I know. But, well, I fucking can't stand Contreras. I think he's a white trash, meth-snorting hick, but, you know.
I don't think he does meth. He's more into pain pills.
Are you? Do you like the gimmicks there, Couture?
No, I'm not on pain pills. Once in a while, I'll take me like about 12 or 13 Tylenol PMs to get a little goofy.
I drink some Robitussin.
You're washing it down with NyQuil.
Yeah. Well, we got one more. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was going to say, I do know that he smokes. I do know he smokes pot because I've actually sold him a bag.
Who? Contreras?
Yeah.
How bad
you know what?
Off?
I also get shit too, wasn't it, Contreras?
Yeah. Something like that.
Ed, do you have a medical marijuana card?
No, they don't give them out in Texas, but as soon as they do, I'll be the first in line.
All right. I'm just wondering if we're going to maybe move to California for that reason. I'll tell you what, you'd think there'd be a shitload of weed out here, but I have not been able to, well, I mean, not that I was trying, but I have not seen any marijuana or any drug use at all out here in Guam.
Really? Nothing at all?
They drink like motherfuckers, though. It's like the Japanese culture where they really look down on drugs, but they love booze. So...
Well, if you find some, save some, and then when you come when you come back for a while, bring me some.
No, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna buy some weed and fly internationally just so I can drop it off with you.
No, you can just say it like FedEx or UPS. It's all right.
Just go ahead and stick it in your wife's stuff and send it over, so she can have all those double jeopardy penalties too.
Right. Can be kicked out of the military. That's great.
All right, well,
you know,
why don't you go ahead and read the last news bit so I can hit my bong here a little bit.
All right, I'll read the last fucking news bit. All right. Actually, this is one of my favorite things, the favorite parts of the news here. The WWE is developing a cooking show with The Big Show. They sent out a survey to their fans gauging their interest in potential cooking shows with The Big Show and his wife, Bess. The concept of the show is going to be, how do you handle a hungry man? Just ask Bess White. Her husband is Paul, the Big Show White, WWE superstar and the world's largest athlete. Show is 7 feet tall, 425 pounds. Bess is bodacious, beautiful, and one big-time cook. And if you think the Big Show is tough, you haven't met his wife. Bess and Show are about to give viewers an all-access pass into the controlled chaos that is their kitchen. You'll meet their friends, their families, and even some of the Big Show's fellow WWE superstars. You never know who will stop by their house to whip up something delicious. Once you see this larger-than-life couple in the kitchen, you know you'll be hungry for more. This sounds like an awesome show.
And I love the Big Show could actually pull it off. I mean, the Big Show is actually
pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, I thought, like, when they had the Rock on Saturday Night Live for that first time, they had, like, everybody... To me, he kind of stole the show just with the little bit of lines that they gave him. I mean, he's actually a very funny dude, and I could actually see him pulling it off. And I think it could actually would actually be cool.
I think it would be great. I mean, yeah, he's a human cartoon character, and he's just – I remember when David Bryan were talking about Knucklehead, and they were both – God, how could it be? And this is the most awful thing ever, and then, like, comparing it to, like, Triple H's movies, and it's like – No, at least Knucklehead was like, it was meant to be stupid, you know, and him making faces can be funny. And if you, again, if you're going to do original programming or want to do shows like this, it's the perfect guy to do it. He's got the perfect wife to do it. And it is a simple concept that works and would be something that your girlfriend or wife would probably fall into too, you know, because it's just like the popularity of Rachel Ray and the Food Network and those types of like, you know, come on in our kitchen type of homes, you know, relaxed talk and all that bullshit. I mean, it is a concept that could actually work.
Nah, I disagree. I think the Big Show is fucking awesome. I love his wrestling, and I love Knucklehead, and I'm not even joking. I thought it was fucking funny as shit. But this is like a one-and-done, like, one-off concept. They need to have, like a cooking show with every WWE character. Like, we get the Big Show 1 week, or maybe the Big Show hosts it, and he brings in,
Kane
1 week.
Yeah.
Or do something like WWE Cribs, where they do, like, it can't just be a cooking show with these two clowns, because that'll be stupid. But if they do,
no, but
yeah.
But
like
bring in people... And think about it, they got JR's, they're going to be the exclusive distributors for JR's barbecue sauce, because I was actually trying to get at the liquor stores I'm at up here, and there's been a hold up with production and things like that, and he's actually moving everything over to WWE. You have the ability to do like a little cutout at the end of every show, or like 2 minutes with Jim Ross doing barbecue tips and, you know, shit like that to keep it moving, because if they do it in a half hour, if it's only a half hour and you figure that's what, 21 minutes they got to fill with commercials and stuff like that, even though there will be their own shitty commercials and bad PSAs and stuff like that for a while. You know, you do something like that and have, like, a random guy come on, or, like, Trish Stratus hyping her yoga place and talking about eating healthy. The thing could have legs to it. It's just, do you trust WWE to do something like that since they fail at everything else?
Well, I remember a couple of years back, they were working on a pilot called Santino's Casa. Do you remember they were doing like the WWE little like shows on the website? And they were actually going to develop a four-camera sitcom in Santino's house, and with like Beth as his wife, Beth Phoenix, or his girlfriend or whatever. And they had a couple of different characters. They were going to do like a four-camera like sitcom. And Santino had written a script, and it was really good. And then they fucking just did what they do. And they just said, you know, they got the writers on it, and they just tried to make it funny as opposed to just let the WWE guys be funny, which they are, you know, Big Show included. He's just, if you let him just do his thing, or let Santino just be Santino, that's funny. It gets retarded when they start writing comedy.
Because they can't do it, and the guy who signs off on it isn't fucking funny, and he's 65 years old, and he's got no real concept. That's always, it's always the frustrating thing with all the things that they do great, and the aesthetics of things. I mean, their ability to make money and vision and things like that. As awesome as a lot of that can be, when they screw up, it's always the most obvious, glaring thing that it's like they just don't want to be told that this obvious thing is the thing that's screwing them up, and they try to find other things. And it never makes any sense to me because they blow simple things. It was like when they're doing Muhammad Hassan, when he first came in, it's like, you know, if you can actually do this like with an HBO level edge kind of to it and present it that way and make it real. And then it was just a cartoon too fast. And then what they think is funny, even though they get something organic and natural, they just screw it up by putting their own spin on it, which I guess with the money they make, in a way, it can be justified, but it's like, what are you going to do 20 years down the line? I mean, you could have Punk and Austin at this WrestleMania and have The Rock and Cena and, you know, The Undertaker come back and drag his ass out there one last final time. But then what? I mean, all of these guys can't keep coming back to do one-off wacky things. And it's like, you're not, what are you going to do? Where's this money going to come from 20 years down the road?
Like another example of him that, like, realizing what, like, the people want or whatever was, like, he knew that pirates were in when the Pirates and Caribbean movies were coming out. So he decides, we need a pirate. Well, they get a pirate, and the guy actually starts to do a very good impression of Johnny Depp and, you know, probably could have got it over a little bit. But Vince is looking at him like, what the fuck is he doing? Let's get rid of him.
Because Arnie, did no one understand, like, that probably wasn't going to be an idea that worked? I mean, did he see Sin Bodhi do some wacky shit, you know, and be like, hang from hooks in his back or something one time and go, I want that guy on my TV? It just didn't make any sense because it was like, man, I don't know what they find entertaining, you know, in their little bubble compared to the rest of the world sometimes is like, wow, for a company that wants to be so pop culture, you don't do a very good job trying to, like, mimic it.
Like it was like when CSI, you know, I can't remember how long ago it was taken off, like, in the early 2000s, and it was, like, the hottest show on TV. They said, we'd do something like that. So next week you have Triple H fucking a corpse. Like, that has anything to do with anything related to CSI, but that was their justification for it.
No, I think I've seen shit like that on CSI.
You've seen dead bodies. I don't think you've seen them screwed with their brains coming out.
I've seen some crazy shit on CSI, but no, I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, they hear what's popular and they just do what they think. They don't actually look and see what exactly is going on, and they put their spin on it, and their spin is usually wrong.
I'm going to stop watching if they screw up the Muppets.
They can't. There's no way, can they? They can't screw up the Muppets, can they?
I don't know.
I mean, they screw up
Bob Barker all the time.
They screwed up Cheech and Chong. I mean, I had hope for Cheech and Chong, and that wasn't a very good one.
Wait, you think they screwed up Bob Barker?
No, the Bob Barker was awesome.
That one was the best one ever. That one was so fucking good. I kept that on my TiVo forever. When Shawn Michaels and Triple H hit that buzzer.
I still thought the best one was William Shatner doing theme songs.
Yeah, William Shatner was good too. But Bob Barker, William Shatner, and
Hugh Jackman was good on Monday.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Hugh
Jackman.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, I gotta agree. What is wrong with Santino right now? Like, can he appear on camera?
He got hurt. He was in a car wreck, wasn't he? He was in a car wreck, wasn't he, Peach?
Yeah, he fucked up his shoulder, but he could appear on camera. He just can't wrestle yet.
Okay, so he and Kermit could sit there and sing, like, Lovers, Dreamers, and Me, or whatever that song was.
Oh, that'd be great.
Rainbow.
Put a little rainbow in the background.
Because they're moving right along.
I swear to Christ, Wrestling Observer Live on Sunday is going to be 2 hours of fantasy booking the Muppets.
It should be. That would be a great show. Yeah, fantasy booking the Muppets.
Jim Cornette was really enthused about this Muppet idea on an interview I heard with him the other day. He was not down with it.
Well, because he's only slightly taller than a Muppet.
Actually, Ship, I think you're wrong about Wrestling Observer Live because Brian has no fucking clue what goes on the Muppets. He probably couldn't name 5 Muppets.
No, it's just like, I'll go off on a rant about the Muppets, and they'll go, great, and then that'll be it. Yeah, it'll move on to something else.
Yep.
He'll be one of those people that hear Muppets and he'll think that this is going to be Sesame Street or something like that. Or did they merge Sesame Street and the Muppets or something?
They're the same company.
Same
it's Jim Henson Productions.
Yeah.
Kermit came.
Yeah, but when
Kermit
you hear the Muppets, I think more of the, like Kermit and all them. I don't think Big Bird and all them.
Yeah,
that's
the Sesame Street cast of the Muppets.
Yeah.
Bernie Nurt and William Regal.
Did you say Bernie and Ert?
And William Regal.
Yeah, I know, but you said Bernie and Ert.
Oh, well, or Ernie and Bert, you know, one of the two.
Bert, I'm a big fan of Bernie and Ert. Both have their unibrows.
That would be good.
Is it true that Bert and Ernie are fags? Did it turn out that they ended up being faggots?
No.
Yeah, they panned in on them 69ing. It was a real controversial episode.
Hey, don't let Bert and Ernie be gay, but they won't let Katy Perry show off her tits. What the fuck?
Well, see,
they're not gay.
Look, Sesame Street's expensive, man. You need a roommate up on that street. Gordon Ray's in the rent on you. Mr. Hooper's store, you know. It's like, you know, the prices keep going up.
Yeah, and I've lived with roommates, though. You don't, when you live with a roommate, you don't have your bed in the same room, though. Like, that's the weird thing. Like, you have different rooms. You're roommates, but, you know.
Oh, bullshit. You and Evan shared the same fucking room with twin little beds across. But you're probably in bunk beds, even.
Yeah, we had bunk beds. Get it right. Bunk beds. Yeah.
They need to do a tag team match with somebody having a mystery partner and ends up being Sweetums.
He could be Mark Henry's partner.
Because, you know, he wouldn't have to have somebody's hand up his ass like some other puppets do. You know, he's in a full suit.
Yeah, he's a big motherfucker, too. He looks like he's on the juice.
Have Mark Henry destroy him, and that'd get Mark Henry over more. There's too much good shit to think of with this possibilities here.
Yeah, there's no way it can live up to the hype.
I'm so excited right now. I'm gonna be so sad in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna suck. They're gonna fuck it up. It's Halloween night, and they're gonna I don't know. They'll probably do one thing with that Muppet. You guys don't fuck. Like, Randy Orton has to give like Gonzo an RKO. Like, that would be awesome.
I don't know how much Orton involvement can. Swagger has got to be. Who is he? Is there a stuttering Muppet or a Muppet with a lisp at least that Swagger can go up against?
Oh, or Cody Rhodes. Yeah, fuck. Who does stutter? Sure, someone.
Oh shit! No, I can't even think right now. Oh, well, anyway. So we actually had a topic, but we've actually done the majority of the show just on the news. Like, longest news station ever. So do we even want to start, or we just want to talk about other bullshit?
What's the topic?
The top 50 incidents in WWE history. I watched it last night on Netflix.
Is it? Oh, you can just play it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I haven't seen it. I'm going to do that today. That'll be my role. I haven't seen it. Is it worth watching or is it shit?
Yeah, it's worth watching. It's just like a countdown, and they just like show them all of them in little clips and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Okay, I'll watch that.
They got a lot of WWE shit on the Netflix streaming.
Yeah, I was hoping they put the Randy Orton documentary on there, but it hadn't come up there yet. So I was looking forward to it.
Do they talk about the school teacher who didn't make it to the big time?
On what?
On the Randy Orton DVD.
I didn't see it. But you know what? Have you guys seen the movie Warrior?
No.
No, not yet.
This is not giving anything away. There's one of the characters is a school teacher who does MMA, and he gets fired by his principal for some video that showed up on the internet, and I can tell you, as being a school teacher who does MMA, I had this exact same conversation with my principal where I got pulled out of class and yelled at for a video showing up on the internet. I did not get fired, but I was told to stop doing MMA.
Oh, it wasn't because they took a day off to go do MMA like Matt Stryker when he was, you know, a teacher.
No, he took a day off. He took like two – he took all his allotted – time to go to Japan. Like, he took too much time off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pro wrestling. That was a little bit different. But, yeah, I actually got yelled at for doing MMA by my principal. So, anyway.
Shit, I mean, imagine if he would have seen your gay-ass wrestling act.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was boning him, so he knew I was gay.
Okay. We got to talk about one thing, because Prazak actually told this story when he was on, so we got to hear your side of the story. And Prazak said he used to hate your guts. And the reason why he said he hates you is because he was running the shows for E, and he wasn't even there, and it was a little shitty show. And I guess you showed up with Delirious and I guess maybe Evan Matt or whatever.
Yeah.
And they talked him into letting you wrestle, and you went out there dressed like Kurt Angle, and you wrestled as fucking Kurt Angle, and they praised like hated you because you were making a mockery of the business.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. It was when Delirious and Matt Sydal and myself, we would road trip all the time, and it was just those two were booked to wrestle each other, and I was just there, and Delirious talked. It was my other buddy TJ, who was a big Shawn Michaels mark, and I was a big Kurt Angle mark. And we went out and we did. It was before WrestleMania where they wrestled, and we went out there and we did the Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle preview, which we called it. We booked this in our heads, 2 minutes before we got to the building. I was just, because I had a singlet that was an American flag singlet, and he looked like Shawn Michaels. I was like, hey man, and I don't think Prazak hates me anymore. I think we're cool now, but he did not like that we went out there and we made a mockery of the show. But let me tell you, it also made a mockery of the show. The fact that there was 11 people in the crowd, and it was it started an hour late, and it went to 1 a.m., one of those IWA Mid-South clusterfucks that were already an embarrassment to the business. And so we went out there and just dicked off for the 10 people in the crowd. And, I think Prazak would even admit himself that he probably was taking that show a little bit too serious. And, but absolutely true. But, no, me and Prazak are cool. In fact, he put over Team Viggity on the ROH pay-per-view talking about Roderick Strong. So, no, me and Prazak, I like him. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah, Prazak's pretty cool. But it's funny, just the thought of somebody promoting an IWA Mid-South show is concerned about someone else making a mockery of the pro wrestling business, and just sounds so fucking insane.
Yeah, it was like Denver, somewhere. Was the show out in the field or something?
No. I mean, I wrestled for shows out in the field. This particular one was in, I don't know, Duluth or some fucking podunk town. You know, Ian never promoted the shows. He would just show up. They'd show up. They'd put the ring together. You know, there'd be he'd have booked 15 matches on the card. You know, Billy Gunn and Sabu and all these ex-WWE guys would be there, and they'd be like, "Oh, where's my $500?" And like, you know, they drew $9 at the gate. And it was just always a clusterfuck, and the show, it was just a disaster. And this was just another disaster Ian show, and we just went out there and shit on it. And who cares? It was actually edited off the DVD. So.
Did that company finally get shut down? They shut it, like, I don't know how many times before.
No, dude, they're still running shows, aren't they?
This is what
I don't know. It seems I read something all the time where the company's dead, they shut down, and then it'll be back up, and then it'll shut it down again or something.
Ian shuts it down, he does a final show, he makes some money, he goes away, then some money, Mark shows up and says, run another deathmatch show or whatever, so he opens it back up, they do a couple more, burn a couple more towns down, and then they go have another final show, and then, you know, it's just, if someone's there to give him money, he'll run a show, he doesn't give a shit.
When I heard there was a queen of the deathmatch tournament, I said, this ain't no shit I'm going to watch.
Oh, I watched that. That was awesome. Mickey Knuckles beating up that white trash kid was fucking fantastic. Did you see that?
I think I've seen that one. I've seen that one match. Yeah, she fucked her up pretty good.
Yeah.
I saw
the
thing where, what was his name, Mike Levy got the shit beat out of him or something?
That's who it was. Yeah, Mike Levy, yeah. Mickey Knuckles,
and his
like,
kid, and his kid, like, gave him a shot with a kendo stick or something.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome. And then Ian came out and they like double stomped him into a ladder, like real
stiff.
Yeah,
that was terrible. God.
Yeah. I never liked that shit. You can keep that shit.
Oh, I would never
pay
for it.
Not only keep that shit, don't breed. Because, you know, they're just all in a family tree with no branches. And you just, Adam Summers would obviously do the show with just, was always a big Highland guy and, you know, would always be there. I just, it's the style of wrestling I can't fathom. And it's one thing to do it when you're getting paid, like an Onita type thing. And I can actually understand that to a point. I don't understand doing it in front of four fucking people who have three teeth.
Yeah, you know,
it was delusional.
Go ahead.
I paid attention to, I mean, it was something like when I first like discovered like ECW in the mid-90s and they were doing all the extreme stuff, I said, holy shit, what's this? And now it gets to 2011, you see doing shit like that, and it's like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I kind of saw. I guess I sucked that way too because I wasn't the biggest ECW fan either. You know, it was up to a point, but I guess it was just too old. I guess it was like again, not that it some of it wasn't awesome and seeing like Sabu and Hayabusa and you know some of the shit that they did, but some of it was just like I don't understand why the fuck you're doing this.
At least ECW had a good mixture. You know, they did have some wrestling and or lucha or Japanese. You know, they always had. They mixed it up a little bit with IWA. It always just seemed like it was just blood and guts, and everything was just fucking one crazier thing after another. I'm surprised no one.
I saw ECW for the first time. I thought, why the fuck would anybody want to work here? They're hitting you with frying pans and barbed wire and chairs, and I don't know.
Yeah, and I knew Axel Rotten, you know, being a Baltimore guy. I mean, he was. Always a nice guy to me. He was always incredibly funny, incredibly awesome, and just a great guy to me. But then, I mean, you look at him, and I remember Tommy Rich would come out for Maryland Championship Wrestling shows and stuff like that, and you're just seeing the divots in the forehead, and you're just seeing these dudes, you know, just kind of being how they are, and it's like, ah, no. if this is, you know, that's the 1,001 reasons not to be a pro wrestler, there's a few of them.
At least Mick Foley was getting, like, paid for that shit in WWF when he did those crazy matches and stuff, and people were seeing it. A lot of people were seeing it, so.
Yeah, that's the difference. The people, the idiots in IWA Mid-South are just marks for themselves. They're working for no money because they're certainly not getting paid. And, it got to the point where you felt bad going out there, and I'd be like, I can't believe that you 32 people paid $20 to see this pile of shit. And I'd feel bad going out there and working. But, you know, I guess there's a certain breed, like you said, the no-branch family tree that likes that shit. And if it makes them happy, fine. But, yeah, I'm not gonna support it.
Right. Oh, I wanted to bring something else up. I just remembered. You remember when in the news, Katrina, we were talking about how Jimmy Yang got his check bounced and I guess he still hadn't been paid? Did we ever find out if he got paid or not?
Oh, he did. He tweeted that he had gotten paid.
Okay, because there's a rumor, and I haven't seen it anywhere, but there's a rumor that someone called and told me that they supposedly bounced another check to Jerry Lynn this time.
Hmm.
So haven't heard it confirmed from anyone major, but, you know, one of these I heard it from a friend of Jerry's things, and supposedly they may have bounced a check to Jerry. So I actually wonder how often this actually happens, and it's pretty sad actually when they're doing that shit because you know they're not paying Jerry that much. You know, what was Jimmy Yang, a couple $100 that they bounced a check on? I mean, that's.
Especially when, like, they're like that one of the highest rated shows on Spike TV, which is a huge, you know, cable channel, and you're bouncing checks.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's hard to believe that they're going to be that cash poor in a lot of ways. But with that said, it's like if you're not that cash poor and you're that disorganized where you don't have the right people, like, you know, moving money from account to account, you don't have accountants and things like that, and people saying, I mean, it's whatever it is. And no matter what it is or what the reason why, it's fucked up. It's fucked up because you are the number one rated show on Spike or damn close to it. And you're going to end up losing your spot to Bellator down the line anyway, or at least as far as the shine of the network goes. So it's like, I mean, it's just the amount of money that they've blown and go through, and maybe they just screwed up and the stipend from Daddy didn't come through and they didn't have a chance to deposit and move the Panda Energy funds in there. But it is amazing if they burn through that much money or if they're just making mistakes in payroll, whatever the reason is, it's absolutely unconscionable.
I just remember when Tyler Wilde was the women's world champion and working sunglasses hut or something like that.
Oh, yeah. What was the thing? Was it Jesse Neal or who was it with the welfare stuff?
Oh, that was Jesse Neal.
But he needed them so he could save up so he could go and get married in Vegas.
Well, maybe he's like the ODB then with them. You know what I mean?
You don't need to tweet that you register for food stamps.
Maybe you're really proud of those food stamps. Maybe they came out with collector's food stamps.
Hey, Pete, I know this is before the Panda Energy thing, but how much did they actually pay you for your little payoff when you worked that explosion match?
$250.
Damn, they overpaid your sorry ass by a lot.
And that's what that's what they owed Jimmy Wang Yang.
Oh, man,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, they're paying Jimmy Wang Yang the same amount as fucking this fact. I can't, that's just,
they're paying
wow.
him the same as a speech machine. That's bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's why their pay-per-view model was going to die quick death. If they didn't get the backing, because they were overpaying people.
And it goes to TV, too, because they did the tapings this week, and things have apparently gotten so bad in TNA that Hulk Hogan has to do this ruse where he's retiring just so they can sell some T-shirts.
It is some reeks of desperation. It's kind of so pathetic from him. It's like, no matter how you look at that one, too, it's kind of shit-tastic, because I don't know about you guys. I never thought I'd see Hulk Hogan doing, like, Aaron Rents furniture commercials and doing some of the stuff that he's doing. I mean, B-celebrity, sure. D-plus sometimes, never really thought that would happen. So it's like, it's bad from that. It's bad that it's like, what does it really, is it going to give him more buy rates? It probably will a little bit, but does it justify it? And then where do you go from there anyway? And again, the dude's immobile, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, I'm just I'm kind of intrigued by what kind of match you're going to have. I mean, I'm expecting it to be, like, pretty bad.
He's going to break his hip in the middle of the ring in front of everybody, and they're going to have to stop the match. That's what's going to end up happening. I can fucking see it, dude. It's going to be something bad is going to happen.
My God, it's like the skits back on Raw way back in the day with the Savage and Hogan and Scheme Gene, and they both have walkers and they pass out and everything. I mean, it really is that reincarnate.
It's pretty close to it when you really look at it. I mean, I think that old that fake Hulk Hogan actually is more mobile than the current Hulk Hogan.
Oh, and that statue of him pulling off his shirt to reveal a skeleton. Whoever thought of that? It was like, you know, something very fitting about that too.
As much as I enjoyed the Micro Championship Wrestling show, it just looks so sad Hulk Hogan having to be on that show.
Half pint brother. Yeah. Maybe he was just a big fan of him. Maybe Lord Littlebrook helped him out at some point in training in his career. Maybe he helped him out by giving Beefcake train with Lord Littlebrook. That'll explain why he would move the way he did.
Wait, I thought it was different midgets. Did Lord Littlebrook's kids are in it?
Say what?
I thought the Lord Littlebrook's kids were on the other midget TV show and not this one.
Oh, I don't
Kevin
know.
Kevin Lane's kid is on Micro Championship Wrestling.
Which one?
Cowboy Lane.
Cowboy Lane is dead, dude.
His son is on the fucking thing.
He fucking died. He was homeless and living on the streets
before he died. I just said
his
son was on the fucking thing, you retard.
Oh, his son? Okay, I didn't hear you. I thought you see Cowboy Lane. It's a shame fucking Little Tokyo Jr. isn't on the show too, man.
Look, all of these shows, what they really need more than anything is the CMLL Midget Blue Monkey just sliding through.
Oh, every show can, 2.5 Men needs the Blue Monkey sliding through.
Like Iron Chef or something like that, or no matter what happens,
yeah,
at the end of the show, they meet their comeuppance, and it's like, you know, a wacky CMLL midget.
Mm-hmm. Now, whatever show needs is Brian Knobs. He's money on it. He's awesome.
I think it was that first...
Funny...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Doing that show where he was supposed to be like a judge, and it was going to be like white trash justice or something.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. I don't think it ever made the air.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I think it was the Hogan's Knows Best, the very first episode where they were spying on Brooke, and it was like Knobs like peeking like through the bush, like just like a complete, just the most overly set up shot in the world, but it was still funny because it was Brian Knobs just looking like a goof.
On one of the episodes that, it was like the middle of the night, and Hogan and Linda were in bed, and Knobs sticks his head in and says, hey, Hulkster, you want to watch WrestleMania 7? Go back to sleep. I remember that.
My favorite one was that they're all the old timers are having a pool party, and fucking Ming grabs fucking Brooke by the crotch and gets a whole handful of muffins and holding her up in her bikini in the pool and no one's saying shit.
I just remember Greg Valentine taking a piss in the bushes. And then they were splashing water on Hacksaw or something, or doing something to Hacksaw, and he got all pissed off.
Doesn't it just look like Valentine is the puffiest person in the world? Doesn't it look like he's actually been dead for, like, 2.5 years? It's just like, you know, he's so slow, it hasn't caught up to him yet?
Yeah. I see his name pop up, and you know, obviously he was in the news like a few weeks ago for the Savage thing and all that, but I just to see his name out there, and I said, you know, that's sad.
But somebody's still paying him. Somebody is still booking Greg Valentine to come to your town. Like the whole thing with the Poffo thing and him having the rep that he does, and this guy still, you know, going through with everything, and I guess made an angle out of it where he actually is going to come back and face Poffo. I guess it all actually worked out somewhat, and it's the most attention a low-level indie show can possibly get, you know, being written up by Dave and everything. But it's like, again, somebody is booking 60-something or whatever it is, your old Greg Valentine, who was moving like he was 60 in 1993.
Although, let's say I'd say that this AWE pay-per-view is like supposed to be on DirecTV, and it's going to be a headline by like Kevin Nash against the Rock and Roll Express or something. I'm going to buy that.
Oh, isn't there like the shoot battle between Ricky Morton and Kevin Nash? I mean, I can't see Robert Gibson having
a
verbal battle.
Over an RF video shoot interview from like 10 years ago where he says I'm bad about him. Some stupid shit like that.
Oh, Ricky.
Oh, well, let me get the plugs in here real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows, including the Angry Mark Show and a whole lot of other ones. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. So we got 6 minutes here, so we'll go ahead and get our last thoughts in here. Shit, you got anything you want to talk about before we go?
I don't know. Not really. Not really.
Okay.
I will share my time.
To the topic
other than
this
to say,
we'll get to
I
it
hate
next
you.
Week.
Go ahead, Jim. What?
Other than to say I hate you, that's about it. And you're definitely wrong about Rodney, and he's right about everything he said about you.
Rodney didn't say anything but totally good things about me. But yes, he is.
Why do you always say bad things about him?
He's a jerk. This whole thing is a ruse. Everyone thinks Ronnie's this great guy. Ronnie's a jerk.
Wait, did he not shake your hand or something?
Exactly.
Granny loves him.
Granny
likes the black man. That should tell you all you need to know.
That's exactly
well,
right.
No, you're confused. Granny thinks Rodney works for her.
Oh.
Granny's knowledge of black people ends with Benson in the early 80s.
Like, I like that young colored boy. He certainly does a nice job chauffeuring me around.
Oh, God. Granny speaking with that old lady southern accent. Yes. Oh, he's really nice. He's not like the other ones.
He's one of the good ones.
You know, when y'all got him that Coco's Taxi Driving Service t-shirt, you should have got him the fucking hat, too. That would have just put it over the top, dude.
Do you remember when George Bush in the 80s, when he was talking about the Mexican part of his family, or the part Mexican part of his family, and he called them my little brown ones? Do you think Granny did that to Brian?
That'd be awesome.
I'm trying to drive you to the stove.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Awful, awful human beings.
It's okay. I got a black friend. I can say stuff like that.
Right? I don't have me. That's...
But the thing is, he's not even black. He just looks black. He's whiter than you are, Kachera. Is that even possible?
Well, plus, I'm from the South. It's just in my DNA. I have to say stuff like that. Can't help it.
Well, you got anything else you want to say before we go, Kachera?
No. If we don't have any guests next week, we'll try to get to the topic. So sorry about that. But
that's no problem. Peach, before we go, do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, for the first time in my life, I agree with Ed. Rodney is an absolute asshole. He's a stupid cocksucking jerk, and do not be fooled by his ruse. Granny, she's wrong in her assessment of his personality. He's a dickhead. And for all of you interested in TeamViggity.com, check out, I'm going to relaunch my website, and any Empire members get $50 off their membership fees. I'm going to try to start that up because I'm really bored over here in Guam and I need some more clients. And if you want to come visit me in Guam, it's only a 22-hour plane flight, but you can stay with me for free.
Is there a meal on that flight?
Probably three, yeah. It's a long fucking flight.
So are you happy that you moved to Guam, or you wish you're still in Tampa?
No, dude, it's freaking paradise. It's really beautiful. It is always 85 degrees, and other than the rain, it's amazing. It's amazing.
So the life of a trophy wife is doing good for you?
I'm the trophy husband, brother.
So being in the airport, you could just you might have to up and move at a moment's notice at some time, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not, you know, we got at least a year here, but then you never know.
Yeah, I had a cousin in the airport. They were moving all the time. So
now you guys, everyone knows you guys met in Vegas, and then this past year you had your wedding reception. Where, by the way, you're a fucking idiot. Okay, how many times did I ask you if there's going to be food? So what are we all
doing
before there's go to a wedding reception with food? And then yeah, free drinks for an hour because you don't know how to get the time right. What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Oh, my God. Well, when you get married, you can do it right.
You should just be happy for the guy who's getting married. You don't need to, you know.
It's not a real wedding, but... But are you guys going to be making a return next year?
To Vegas?
For another what?
Yeah, we're going to try to get married again next year, yeah.
Not for another wedding, but are you guys going to show up since that's where y'all met and when y'all met?
Possibly. Is anyone going to the UFC?
I'm just asking because I want to hang out with Evan again. I could give a fuck about you, but, you know.
Well, he and I are going to the UFC, whatever the one is on October 29th, the
and
one with GSP.
With, he needs to give me
what?
Free tickets to the Raw, the pay-per-view the week before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be sure to get on that.
Yeah.
Well, is anyone going to the UFC? Are you guys going to go to the 130 or to the GSP show?
Oh, the GSP show where they're fucking everyone out of their main event and they get to see GSP against fucking Carlos fucking Condon. Yeah. Who wants to go see that show?
Well, I bought the tickets before that happened.
Hey, you know what? As long as Penn Diaz is on there, I'll be happy. I'm fine with GSP Condon as long as I get some semblance of Nick Diaz in my life. And him against BJ Penn, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. And if you look at the
Todd
show,
sort of wackiness.
Oh, don't worry, wackiness.
It's going to be a good fight, but, I mean, I would have liked to have seen the wackiness in the main event against GSP. I mean, but, you know, we could end up going a long time with that, so we should just cut that conversation short, and let's go ahead and end the show. So we will talk to everybody next week, and or if you want, Shinji, you can go ahead and play your other shows if you want before we go.
Well, first of all, for that pussy caller who hung up earlier on, you know, call back in. Was. But in any event, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare being recorded soon. Just don't know when, but at some point soon here. And then, of course, Wrestling Observer Live, which you probably will not hear on the Sirius Satellite Network, Channel 94, Sunday Eastern, 6 to 8, because, well, there'll be football on. So find a sports byline affiliate or just download it off the site or something like that.
Cool. Okay. Well, everybody come back next week, and if Craig doesn't have us a guest, I guess we'll actually try and get to this week's topic. So everybody come back. Everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then. And, Pete, I'm going to play this just for your buddy.
All right.
If it'll start, goddammit.
Johnny Ringo.
What's going on, John?
I love you, Johnny Ringo.
You must be Ringo.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Johnny Ringo. The deadliest pistol ever since Wild Bill.
Damn, what was his name again?
Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo, are you still on the line?
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Ringo, 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 Ringo.
Well, I would like to say that I hate everyone more now than ever before.